Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in, welcome back. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving break, and we're back with you today. Of course, lots to talk about. Indiana basketball and Providence get underway later this afternoon in the Maui Invitational at Asheville, North Carolina. That will never get used or normal to saying the Maui Invitational in Asheville, but that is the year 2020. And of course, IU football with another win over the weekend. A little slow start. But second half, much different for the IU football team, and they win. But, of course, the big question I think everyone has with Indiana football is what is the status of Michael Penix, the quarterback, of course, who was injured in the game. We're going to investigate that a little bit more in this hour. But fun day. I know everyone has been looking forward to the Maui Invitational. It's going to look a lot different than what it normally would. Normally the players would leave early in advance, be out in Hawaii for the event, get some practice in, get a little vacation time, I guess somewhat as well. And of course, things would be live with fans and a lot of alumni there as well. That's not going to be the case this year. I saw it this morning that ESPN producing, and I think even the announcers, off-site locations, I know everything's being produced off-site back in the ESPN headquarters. So just a different time, but it should be some good basketball. And knock on wood, I haven't seen or heard any reports out of the Maui Invitational as far as teams go, and they've all been there. I think Indiana went down on the 28th, so a couple days ago. They've all been there now for a couple days. No reports of virus issues, at least not yet. Virus has obviously affected college hoops. We know it's going to. We've seen some games moved and canceled already, but this is a bracket. It's a tournament, and you'd hate to see a team go down. I guess that would cause a bye for somebody to move on to the next round. But if this all plays out, we should get some really good matchups today and in future days over the next 2 days, 3 days, I guess, including today in college hoops. And for me, I mean, I know the season's been underway. We've seen a lot of cupcake games. We have seen some surprises. We have seen some upsets. But this Maui Invitational and events that are on this level, for me, this really marks the start of college basketball. So, of course, Indiana Providence scheduled to tip off later this afternoon. We'll have the call for you here on the Big X. Don't forget you can listen to the legendary voice of the Hoosiers, Don Fisher, right here. So looking forward to tuning the game in, listening to Don's call as well, and seeing what this Indiana team's all about. I think so far, with the little bit of experience we've had in seeing the team play Tennessee Tech last week, I think that there's reason to be excited about this team, and there were a lot of pieces that we got to see briefly in a one-game setting last week to understand how this team is coming together and, most importantly, how they could come together. And, again, so many fringe players, I think, on this Indiana roster that we're hopeful have big seasons. We think they have the talent to contribute to do something, but you just don't know for sure. And I feel even more so that there are a number of players just really at the edge of things, ready to pick a role, ready to get involved with this team, and I just don't know exactly who it's going to be. I don't think any of us do that are going to step into some of these roles, but clearly there is some experience, there's some talent, there's some interest with the newcomers as well. And I think we'll find out a lot more today and over the next few days for this team at the Maui Invitational. So fun to talk about that. We'll have full preview of the IU-Providence game here in this hour on our Monday program. Let's look at the show lineup, a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll preview IU-Providence. We'll recap IU football and their win over Maryland over the weekend, and we'll also talk Michael Penix. I just got something sent to me that's concerning about that. I'll share that with you here in just a moment. And then finally, later today, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, he'll join us as we'll talk some local sports and some high school stuff as well, because high school hoops, the boys really got rolling this past week and really get going later this week. We've got some things to talk about regarding that as well. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's get into our Zaxby's headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Just had this tweet sent to me from Bruce Feldman, a college football writer. He tweeted just before we went on the air today, IU QB Michael Penix Jr. is expected to miss the rest of the season because of the lower leg injury he suffered on Saturday, per source. And so we will find out more from Coach Allen, I would think, later today. But that is not good news for this Indiana football team that is off to a great start in the Big Ten, has hopes of finishing the season strong. They can still, I think, have a good year, but this, no question, is a big blow if Bruce Feldman's tweet is correct, if Penix is going to miss the rest of the season. I think he was walking, or there were reports that Penix was on his feet in the tunnel at the end of the game or after the game on Saturday, so I was hopeful that the news wouldn't be this, but we'll see how things play out. That's the latest that I have seen on Penix and the injury that he had during the game on Saturday. Also, a couple other headlines to pass along. What about this Providence team today? Who is this team Indiana's going to take on? Well, David Duke is their best returning player. He's a point guard, has a lot of length to him as well. And also some other names to mention, Nate Watson, he's a senior center. He had 23 points and 10 rebounds in Providence's win over Fairfield to start the season. It was a blowout win for the Friars. He's a name to pay attention to. A.J. Reeves, a sophomore, now a junior, excuse me. He is another player, as well as Greg Gant, a sophomore forward that really didn't do a lot as a freshman, but I think a name to pay attention to on this Providence roster. Just a couple names that stand out to me as you look at who this team is and what this Providence team is about. I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, I think all the expectations are, if you look at things, that this will be a good game, one of the good openers today at the Maui Invitational. More coming up on that game a little bit later in the program today. Also, just talking college hoops in general for a minute. It's been fun to watch some of these early season games. This week, I think the competition, some of the games, some of these early season events get a lot better. But, you know, Michigan had to go to overtime to beat Oakland, a mid-major Division I school from the state of Michigan, on Sunday night, kind of an opportunity to see the Wolverines on Sunday night. How about Richmond going into Rupp Arena, beating the Wildcats 76-64, so a double-digit win. Now, I think it's obviously an upset, but Richmond is going to be good. I think they're around the top 25 team this season, so not a huge surprise there. And then locally, from a college basketball level, how about Sean East up at Bradley? He's gotten a lot of minutes. Saw the opening game of the year. He had 6 points, six rebounds, eight assists, something like that was his stat line. And even more surprisingly, Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville playing for Nevada, he's had some playing time. He had a double-digit scoring game, 13 points in their opening win of the season, their opening game of the season. So great to see some local players, even Josh Jefferson from New Albany, getting some scoring and reaching, I think, double figures it was in his opening game of the year for Wisconsin Green Bay. So we've got some local guys right now at the Division I level spread out across the country that had a good first week of the season for their teams. And again, Sean East, of course, a transfer from UMass. He's a sophomore. This is year number two. He got a waiver. He can play immediately. So a sophomore. And then Trey Coleman, a freshman. Josh Jefferson is a senior after the transfer, and he had to sit out last season. But, again, good to see these guys contributing already this season at a big level as well. A couple other notes. Romeo Langford. I've had a lot of questions. What's going on with Romeo? According to our friend Chris Grinham of Forbes Sports, Romeo still has a cast on his right wrist, and Chris Denham, that the plan is to have that removed in about a week. That should allow him to begin his recovery in the near future. Langford underwent surgery on that wrist in late September, and I think we're all interested in Romeo because you want him to be healthy, obviously. But how about the Celtics confirming a trade, Gordon Hayward and two future second-round draft picks to the Hornets in exchange for a conditional future second-round draft pick? It's a sign-and-trade agreement. It also creates a trade exception for Boston, whatever that means. But could this be an opening for Romeo Langford if he's not on the trade block, and it doesn't look like he is, if he's healthy, to have an opportunity to contribute more for this Celtics team in the future? Initially, we had heard that Romeo may not be ready to start the season healthy next year because of this surgery. We'll see more in the offseason what the recovery time is going to be like and how long, if the cast does come off here in a week or so. But that will be interesting to track as well. But maybe Romeo can find more minutes with this Celtics team as we look ahead to next year. Want to talk high school hoops for just a minute. We'll get more high school stuff later in the show with Chad Gilbert. But through the opening week of play, Silver Creek, I think the standout performance has to be Cooper Jacoby. He had 44 points, 18 rebounds as Silver Creek defeated Columbus East 106-81 last week. And the Dragons were playing without Trey Kaufman, who had a dinged ankle and was out for the game. Brandon Northern in that contest, their point guard, a junior, had 21 points, 9 assists, and Isaac Hinton, he's a senior, a wing forward, a double-double, 17 points and 10 rebounds. So even without Trey Kaufman, this Silver Creek team is really good, and I think it's probably good in the early season to show the balance that they did in that game with Jacoby, Northern, and Hinton all turning in big performances, with Kaufman not in the lineup for Silver Creek. So that stands out to me in week one. New Albany got off to a good start. They defeated a shorthanded Clarksville the night before Thanksgiving. No real surprise there. Clarksville has some injuries. They had some players out because of quarantine with COVID, that situation. But New Albany comes back Saturday and a very balanced attack defeats Bloomington South in a very, really a great win for New Albany. It was a very competitive game through the first three periods. New Albany built the lead in the third period. South cut it down. 2-3-point game at the end of that period. Then New Albany just tore things, blew things wide open in the fourth period. Of course, Bloomington South without Connor Hickman. He's going to Bradley. He'll team there next year with Sean East. He's out all season long with an injury as he recovers from a surgery in the offseason. But those things stand out to me. We'll get to see Floyd Central later this week. They have two games this week. Jeffersonville on pause because of COVID-19 quarantines, unfortunately, to start their season. But we'll see them hopefully a little bit later this month, a few weeks from now, a week and a half or so from now. And high school got off to a slow start this past week because of COVID and because of the holidays. Things really pick up this week. You've got a number of Tuesday night games, Friday, and, of course, Saturday night games this week as well. And I think we'll learn a lot more about our local area this week and next week as far as high school basketball is concerned. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. What's the latest with Pennix? Not good news, it sounds. We'll talk about that. We'll talk IU basketball and their matchup this afternoon with Providence, which we'll cover. We'll air right here live on the Big X. All that with Zach Osterman. Coming up in the next segment, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back here on this Monday program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star always joins in this segment as we talk IU basketball and IU football. We're going to get to the IU-Providence basketball game here in just a bit, which is scheduled to be played this afternoon. But, Zach, we've got to start off with the news, and I think you're hearing this as well, that Michael Penix is maybe out for the season because of the lower leg injury that he suffered on Saturday.
Yeah, there's a lot happening kind of at once here. You're right. Bruce Feldman was the first report. I think we followed up with that. I rumors have been swirling since Saturday. I'd heard there was concern that it was obviously either an ankle or a knee problem and that Penix was going to have to undergo a scan, but that it didn't look great. And now it's kind of official. We'll hear from Tom Allen at noon, where I would expect him to go into further detail about kind of what happened and obviously kind of where Michael Penix goes from here. I think the first thing you say is it's just, you know, terrible luck for Michael Penix. And it did. I know people are tempted sometimes to question if players are injury prone. This really did just feel like, you know, kind of whatever happened, there was a, you know, something planted funny or landed funny or whatever. You know, I think there are people who were saying that, you know, what was Michael Penix doing running the ball? I've also spent the entire season listening to people scream at me wondering why Michael Penix doesn't tuck the ball and run it more often. The truth was that looked like a pretty benign case. It wasn't like he ran into a pile of defenders. I think he just kind of got his feet sort of awkwardly planted as he went out of bounds. One way or the other, I think we'll know more about it. And not to, you know, I know this is kind of killer for the 11 to noon show, but I think we'll know more about it at about noon. But it obviously, of course, elevates Jack Tuttle to Indiana's, presumably, you would imagine, Indiana's starting quarterback job going forward.
And let's stay with that for just a moment. If this all plays out as we're hearing, as we think that Penix is done for the season, obviously a blow to Indiana football. There's no question about it. We haven't seen that much of Tuttle. We did see him, obviously, when Penix went out in the game on Saturday. But what's your immediate reaction to an IU football team without Penix and with Tuttle in the quarterback slot?
Well, I don't think there's anybody else on this team that can be as kind of consistently dynamic as Michael Penix, to be throwing the ball down the field. I think that's been the case since he, you know, frankly, even since he got to college. You know, I mean, I think about even his freshman year when Indiana was kind of picking and choosing his spots because you could see how much refinement he needed. You could still see just the arm talent he had. Now, I think it is worth saying, as my dogs join the chorus downstairs, I think it is worth saying that Jack Tuttle is a good quarterback. He was actually ranked ahead of Michael Penix in the 2018 recruiting class. He was an Elite 11 performer in high school. He played in Southern California, which is obviously a really, really difficult place, or a really sort of, you know, that they play a high level of football there. And I think in particular, offensively, you know, that there is a real sort of, you know, emphasis on advanced offenses, quarterback play, skill players, things like that in Southern California. You know, when we'd gotten the chance to see Penix early in his Tuttle early in his career in Indiana, you know, he could be a little bit erratic at times in practice. It also kind of later came out that he'd had an illness, not a hyper serious one, but one that had actually held him out for several months. And so he went through this period where he just really didn't play a lot of football because he left the team in Utah, I want to say like mid-October, the year that he transferred. He transferred into Indiana, then kind of halfway through, maybe toward the end of spring practice, he gets sick, And then he missed pretty much most of the summer, was my understanding, if not pretty much all the summer while he got over this. And so by the time he got back to fall camp 2019, he just hadn't played a lot of football. And you know, you could see kind of the rustiness. And it's, I know people think rustiness is something you shake off, you know, in a couple days. But when you're that young and you're still kind of trying to find, you know, your legs in at the college level, it doesn't work that way. I think it was encouraging, some of what you saw from Tuttle on Saturday. You know, I think Indiana tried very hard to keep some of their, you know, some of the throws they asked him to make simple. I think some of that was, you know, out of wanting to an abundance of caution and wanting him to be comfortable. I think some of it was also sort of looking at it and saying, hey, you know, the game's won. Let's not risk him, and let's also not put any – if there is anything that Jack Tuttle's particularly good at, let's not put it on film for Wisconsin. There's really no need to in case Penix is out for the year. He was 5 of 5. You know, he had a couple – the throw he made on the two-point conversion was particularly impressive to me. It was a tight window, and it required some zip, and he got it in there to Peyton Hendershot. He also had a throw to Miles – I think it was Miles Marshall – that wasn't completed, but it was basically a throw built to draw a pass interference call, and it did. And that's where you kind of get to a quarterback that maybe is, you know, it's not just about the arm talent, but also if you're talking again about a guy who maybe grew up in a hyper-competitive sort of quarterback environment in California, you know, maybe the sort of advanced knowledge of how to handle the position and how an offense works. I think certainly if you're Indiana, you feel good about Tuttle from the perspective he's a redshirt sophomore. He's been in the program for almost 2 full years now. You know, it's you're not asking a freshman to go out there and do something. You're not going to send, you know, a completely untested guy out onto the field at Wisconsin. Undeniably, some things are going to have to change. And, of course, I'm sure you would rather his first game be a little bit easier than Wisconsin at Wisconsin. But if you're Indiana, this is the stakes now, because quite frankly, all of a sudden, Indiana is very much in position, or very much in, let's say, in contention anyway, to, I don't know if we call it win the Big Ten East, but certainly play in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game in a couple weeks. And there's every chance that they're doing that, depending on how some things unfold at other schools. And there's every chance now that Jack Tuttle's the one leading them out onto the field.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, plenty to get to, plenty to talk about today. I wanted to spend more time on the IU football game Saturday, but before we transition to basketball, you mentioned there's a lot happening right now. We just saw that Michigan is doing football virtual today. I guess their team meetings and post-game from over the weekend out of maybe some potential COVID-19 concerns. This is interesting because it could have implications on the conference, and I feel like things as far as the conference schedule and what remains really tightening up here for the Big Ten.
Yeah, so there are layers to it, but it's actually not that complicated. The Big Ten, at the beginning of the season, set a minimum required number of games to be played at 6 out of the first 8. Obviously, there's the 9th game, but the 9th game for the winners of each division is the Big Ten championship game. So 6 of 8 games needed to be played for a team to be eligible for the Big Ten championship game. That number can only come down if the average number of games played across the entire conference sinks below 6. According to Dave Revson, who sought clarification with the league, I don't want to put words in Dave's mouth, but I believe about basically whether it's 6 is a hard number, or it's a question of, like, if it's 5.75 games per team, would that round up to 6? Either way, Revson tweeted that after last weekend's games were completed, and I think 5 of the 7 games in the conference were played, we're in a situation where 12 of the last 14 games in the conference schedule between this coming weekend and the weekend after would need to be canceled for the average to sink below 6, and therefore allow, for example, an Ohio State, who just played, let's say, 5 games, to qualify as the Big Ten East champion and go to Indianapolis. So Indiana has obviously completed its 6 games. Indiana is obviously 1 game behind Ohio State and 1 game ahead of Michigan in the Big Ten standings. Indiana holds the tiebreaker over the other two teams in the East that going into last weekend were at three losses. Michigan lost, so they're disqualified anyway. Michigan State obviously lost to Indiana, so they're not relevant. The first thing that would be, if we're talking about Indiana going to Indianapolis, the first thing that obviously needs to happen would be for Ohio State to lose another game, which is possible. Of course, Ohio State shut down late last week, had their game canceled against Illinois. They reiterated, they underscored that they shut down out of an abundance of caution, that they hadn't met the Big Ten's positivity threshold yet. But it's also worth saying that pretty much everyone else that shut down when they shut down could say the same thing. And the rhythm that we have sort of seen these things take on is that they take about 2 weeks. Once you shut everything down, do all your contact tracing, identify any further possible spread, isolate every case, and then get back to work. Ohio State, I think, is, of course, within the bounds of safety, going to do all it can to play this weekend. But you understand that, you know, it could be difficult. And now, as you mentioned, Michigan is not shutting down. They're going virtual for the day because they have had some positive tests that they are waiting to confirm via the PCR tests, the ones that are more accurate. If Michigan shuts down, and you know, like it's, listen, I understand that it's weird to start talking about this sort of stuff and probably a little unsavory. It feels kind of strange for me to be talking about it this way myself. If Michigan shuts down, Maryland would not play this weekend. That would remove Maryland from consideration because they've already missed two games and this would be a third. Obviously, if Michigan stayed shut down through next weekend, and now we're getting into big time hypotheticals, if Michigan stayed shut down through next weekend, even if Ohio State had come back, it wouldn't have made a difference. So, you know, this is all chaos. And we kind of knew it would be when we decided we were going to try and play a season during a pandemic. The things to know are that, number one, Indiana has played the minimum number of games. Number two, obviously, without Ohio State losing out, if they do play this weekend, which seems unlikely, Indiana cannot catch Ohio State in the standings. Number three, Indiana has a game and the tiebreaker on Maryland, so Indiana would need to lose out and have Maryland win out to get passed by Maryland. And number four, if Maryland or Ohio State loses another game, bar some sort of just dramatic shutdown across the conference in the next 2 weeks, we would not have Maryland or Ohio State in that situation would not be the minimum number of games to be eligible for Indianapolis. There are a lot of moving parts. I know at the beginning I said it was simple. I recognize that was a long answer that probably suggests that it wasn't. But it's all pretty straightforward. It's just figuring out, you know, kind of where everything lines up.
Interesting times ahead. I think we thought maybe we could see some situations like this, but with as few games that a team plays in the college football season, at least that they have scheduled, it's really beginning to get pressure packed here to see how the remainder of this Big Ten season plays out. Zach, I could spend so much more time on that and other football topics, but we've got to get to basketball because we've got a game coming up here in just a few hours for Indiana as they open up the Maui Invitational down in Nashville. And I really expect, from what I know, from what I've read about this Providence team, a challenge for this Indiana team today. I think that maybe the positives we saw last week, we'll get a real read on early this season what this team could do based on their game today and, of course, over the next few days at the Maui event.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think back to Indiana's last trip to Maui, and not to kind of dredge up old memories, but, you know, that it was a reminder. You know, we all kind of went into that season thinking, well, Indiana doesn't need to win the Maui Invitational. They just need to go out there and, you know, have a good showing. They'll come back with a couple quality wins. They'll play on a good stage, whatever. And then they lost that first game, and, you know, everything just kind of spiraled on them a little bit. And I think that's the tricky part of these three-game and three-day tournaments sometimes, is you need to have a good start. And Providence, I know, is a team that I think it's kind of in the mid-50s in the KenPom and things like that. Or at least I haven't looked at them today, but I know that's where they were kind of middle of last week when the season opened. I also think that there was a, stretch in their opener where they outscored their opponent by about 40 points. So I think that they're kind of one of those classic Ed Cooley teams that if they can get going offensively, they can really hurt you fast. But I also, I mean, listen, Indiana's, I think, a 2.5-point favorite in this game. I'm guessing Vegas is being pretty cautious about how it's setting some of these lines right now. There's just so little point of reference to figure out kind of who fits where. But I do think that, this is a game that Indiana can win. Providence also does not, to me, look very deep inside. And obviously, if particularly if Indiana can get Joey Brunk back, and it sounded very much like he was being held out Wednesday out of precaution and perhaps out of getting him, you know, physically ready for games like this, rather than, of course, games like Tennessee Tech. You would imagine they may well have him back from his sore back problem. Then I think that this is a game where Indiana can create some favorable matchups. And as long as they can kind of keep the lid on Providence, you know, scoring in bursts, I think they can win it. And I also just think, like I said, I think it's important in these tournaments for a team like Indiana that's going to be looking at Maui and thinking, we got a tough conference schedule ahead of us. There's obviously not a lot of room in the non-conference schedule overall. You know, now we're looking at, like, we're supposed to play Butler on December 19th, but now I believe they're shut down until at least December 14th. You know, you need to make hay while the sun shines. And this is an opportunity to do that in a season where, it should be said, I suspect a lot of people are going to lose some of these opportunities, unfortunately. We've already seen some games canceled, some games moved around. So one way or another, this is all going to be tricky. You know, as we talk about everything, you know, football got a little bit of a reprieve from it, but the way that everything's exploded in the last, you know, few months or month or so, I should say, basketball is going to be even trickier. And I just think you got to seize the opportunities that are in front of you while they're there. And I think that's kind of where Indiana's mindset's got to be going into this week in North Carolina.
Zach, I assume the fact that we're a few hours before the Indiana game and really just minutes away from the start of the opening game of the Maui tournament, the fact that we haven't heard any bad news or, let's say, COVID news from the event is good, because the teams, I think, have all been there now for a couple of days. We saw some pictures of Indiana practicing. I know I've seen that from other teams as well. So I know, obviously, we're dealing basically with all high major teams here from power conferences that have testing routines. And then I'm sure that there's been stuff done on site, maybe both days since teams have been there.
Right. I mean, again, I think when you look at the way that, like, Mohegan Sun and some of those events worked, I think if there were immediate concerns, they would have popped up, you know, kind of right away. You know, I think we're at a point where you can always get, you can always have something kind of pop up out of nowhere. But it, from Indiana's perspective, from the tournament's perspective, yes, you would imagine that if there were some really fundamental concerns, they already would have flared up.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, as always, thanks for the chat. Busy, busy news day. Going to be a busy day, I know, for you as well. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk with you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Don't forget Indiana and Providence. We'll have that game. It's a 2:30 tip on ESPN, and Don Fisher has the call here on the Big X. Pre-game begins, and I always encourage you, even if you're not going to listen to the game on the radio, listen to the pregame. You get lots of stuff from Don Fisher. You get to hear from Archie Miller. You get a little bit about the lineup as well, which is always, it seems, a moving piece at Indiana. And so stay tuned for the pregame show coming up at 1:30 today. And then, again, literally in minutes, we've got tip-off of the opening game from the Maui Invitational. And if you're a college basketball lover, the next couple days are pretty good. You've got daytime games. You can essentially watch first-round Maui games today from noon all the way until 9 or 10 o'clock tonight, which will be a lot of fun. You got some good teams in that tournament. We still don't know a lot about all the teams because it's just a crazy year, a later start to the season. I think everybody except one team has played. So if you want to do some research on some of the other teams that's out there, Let's see. Everybody has played except Stanford, who enters the game without a game under their belt. Alabama 1-0, Davidson 1-0, North Carolina 1-0. Of course, Providence, I mentioned they defeated Fairfield last week. They are 1-0 as well. Texas 1-0, UNLV the only team in the field so far with a loss in their only game of the season so far. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. We'll talk a little high school basketball and about some of the top players and teams perhaps for the upcoming season as games slowly getting underway on the boys' side. Last week we had New Albany in action twice, Silver Creek with a win, a few other teams in action as well. And things get a little busier this week. Floyd Central with a few games. Jeff, we won't see for another week and a half or so because of their quarantine. But the season is here. College and high school, it's a busy time. Back with more, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Chad Gilbert with me. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School, former coach, boys and girls basketball here in the area. And he's the president of the IHSA Executive Board this year. And he joins me Mondays as we talk high school basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. Chad, the basketball season's here. College hoops underway really gets rolling today with this Maui Invitational down in Asheville. But high school basketball on the boys' side, it's beginning to roll as well with a few games last week.
Matt, I can hear the excitement in your voice. You're pumped up after seeing these games this week. It's a good time of the year, you know, and hopefully this thing will keep on going. I think, you know, fans, kids have to do their part by social distancing, by masking up, by washing their hands, and just see if we can get through this thing. The fall sports, we made it through. Football made it through. And when you and I talked in July, who'd have thought we'd gotten that far? You know, I think we said, first off, we'll be lucky to get through 2 weeks. Then we got through 2 weeks, and we made it through two more. Now, was there bumps in the road? Absolutely. Will there be bumps in the road for basketball and winter sports? 100% there's going to be bumps in the road. I told our coaches in the winter, it's not a matter of if something happens to your team coronavirus-wise. It's a matter of when. And that's where you got to make sure you've done your due diligence as a coach, as an administrator of your team, of knowing who's going to have to be close contact traced, who's going to be out, who's going to be able to be in. And hopefully we can get through this the best we can. But to your point, an exciting weekend. It was great to see teams back on the hardwood. Hard to tell anything about who's who can do what, but a lot of excitement to see teams back on the hardwood.
Chad, I'll hit you with some basketball stuff in just a moment, but you bring up a good point. High school football, 1A through 6A championship games were this past weekend. We carried some of them here on the Big X. I think it's worth noting, and I don't have it in front of me to know for sure, but it seemed like the week leading up to the start of sectional play, maybe the couple weeks leading up to the start of sectional play, we lost a number of teams that just couldn't play because of coronavirus quarantines or positive cases. But we always were terrified of getting to a semi-state or a state championship game and a team having to forfeit at that level. When you're that far into a tournament, you're that close to competing for the overall state championship. And I really think it's a testament to coaches and players and parents and the fans and everybody involved that I don't think from the regional on we had many issues with that. I can't think of any off the top of my head from the semi-states or obviously the state finals where a team had to bow out or just that, what a terrible situation that would be. So what that tells me, a lot of people were taking this serious and they really kept their butts where they needed to be. If they weren't at practice, they were at home and they were careful who they were around because we know this thing's skyrocketing across the country. We know, like you said, it's not if but when your team has an issue with it this season. But I thought that's worth noting, that obviously there was some real leadership and guidance there to get the football season done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or they're not testing. But I think we're dealing with responsible adults, responsible parents, responsible kids. You know, you get to that level and no one wants to be the one who costs your team that opportunity to go on. So kids and parents are, they understand that this stuff is real and they understand that there's a chance you can be quarantined, which brings up a point, Matt. You know, if you're in this basketball season, you know, if you know that you're going to win that team, you know, let's take somebody from Silver Creek. You know, they may have a couple of games that, you know, they're winnable. They want to get the games that they know is going to help them advance in the tournament, if that makes any sense to you. You know, you don't want to be quarantined against a good Bloomington South team or a New Albany team or whatever and have your guys on a team that you know that you're going to beat pretty handily, you know. So there's some things here. You know, I think of that mostly with wrestling. Wrestling, you want to have your guys ready for the sectional, for the conference tournament. Do you risk that by having a three-way meet, you know, along the way? And that's, you know, it's, you got to be good. It's like anything else, and you got to be lucky. So it'll be interesting how it all falls.
All right, let's go through some high school basketball stuff from the opening week of the season. Silver Creek, 106 points. They had three starters from last year, obviously not there, out. And Cooper Jacoby, 44 points and something like 18 rebounds. Pretty good start for Silver Creek to the year.
Unbelievable. I mean, no, not unbelievable, very believable. They're a good team. You know, you're talking about defending state champion, someone who, going in, if you were going to bet last year, you'd want to bet that they have a great chance to repeat last year. This year coming back, the same thing. What Brandon's done over there is remarkable, because it's just not coaching. You're dealing with egos. You're dealing with kids that want a certain amount of shots. You're dealing with kids that think they're as good as some of the better kids. Well, that's not the case. And that's not an easy pill to swallow for those kids as well. And that's something that you got to keep selling that sacrifice. You got to keep selling that buy-in for the betterment of the team. But to do that against a Columbus East team without, you know, one of the guys out is Trey Kaufman, who's a Mr. Basketball candidate. I think you got to make a hard look at Cooper Jacoby as an Indiana All-Star. You know, I mean, you got a great shot of winning two state championships, possibly a third if it wasn't for COVID-19. I think he's making a pretty good play out of the gates here to be a Mr. Basketball type candidate. But to do that, 44 points, 18 rebounds out of shoot, that's a great performance, a great way to start it off for the Dragons.
Chad, New Albany also 2-0 last week. They defeated a very shorthanded Clarksville team who I think will go on to be solid in 2A and have a chance to compete for a 2A sectional later this year if we get that far. Let's hope we do. But New Albany comes back Saturday. They defeat Bloomington South. South missing Connor Hickman, who's going to be out all year. He's kind of their key player, going to go to Bradley next year once he's done at South. But New Albany, a very close competitive game on Saturday until the fourth quarter. Then they just kind of blew South away. So I know that backcourt duo that we talk about of Caden Stanton and Tucker Bivin had a real nice week, a nice start to the season for the Bulldogs.
Well, I think if you got good guards like that, which they obviously do, they're in control of a lot of games. And they've got guys that fill in the gaps. You know, they may not have the best five on the court, but they're going to have guys in position. They're going to make them successful, whether it's get that big rebound, get that big stop, get that big pass, set that big pick, whatever it is. It seems like they've got all the pieces to be an outstanding team.
Talking with Chad Gilbert about some high school basketball to begin the season, and kind of a slow start. The holiday, there were some COVID postponements and cancellations. We'll get, I think, a little bit better look this week at some of our local teams. Jeffersonville, though, Chad, still some time until they make it their way back to the court after a COVID shutdown for them, and I think that's just going to be the first of many teams in our area that will have to go through something like that.
Oh, and, you know, Jeffersonville's shorthanded games to begin with. Ryan Owens, a teammate of mine, is having a shootout in Brownsburg this weekend. And they've had a team from Ohio who canceled, and they've had to shift some games up. So I gave him Andrew's number at Jeffersonville, say, hey, pick those guys up. He calls and says, hey, they're on quarantine. They can't play it either. So it was an opportunity for Jeffersonville to play in a big tournament. Brownsburg is going to have a big, big tournament up there. Ryan's done a great job of putting that together. And by being under quarantine, they've missed out on that opportunity. And I think there's going to be some other teams that miss out on opportunities going on. I don't think there's going to be a shortage for games because I think teams will be dropping and picking up as it goes. But it's just one of those things that we're dealing with every day, Matt. And that's the one thing that I hope parents and I hope players can be sympathetic a little bit, because this is a hard road, because athletic directors, there's no seed money to start the year. The school corporations don't say, hey, here you go, Charlestown, here's $10,000, let it get it through the year. This whole, your whole revenue is based on ticket sales. And when our ticket sales are small, when it's just household people, two per player, you're hoping you can break even paying for the officials. So it's one of those deals that teams are going to be pushing to do whatever they can to get games in to allow the kids to play. But, you know, there may be a day, you know, and we're in that boat right now. We're talking about adding a girls game tomorrow. So that means no prep for either team. Just going to be able to play because we've missed two so far, and we got to pick those back up.
Going to see more and more stuff like that, Chad, I think, as we get further and further into the year.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you just got to really be flexible. And the kids have to enjoy every time on their court. And no more now is the time that you ever say, play every game like it's your last, because you don't know when it's going to be. And I think this year that's one of those deals. I do believe strongly that we will get through the season, but I do think it's going to take a lot of people working together to get it done.
Chad, we got about a minute left, but I'm curious your thoughts to the opening week of college basketball, of course, as we get ready for Indiana to play in Maui later this afternoon.
Well, wasn't it exciting to watch Indiana again, to see Indiana kids playing on Indiana teams? That makes it so much more exciting. I think Purdue has that, you know, Indiana kids playing on Indiana teams, because you follow those kids through high school and you get to see them at that next level. You feel like you have a little bit of partnership with those guys, a little bit of say, and a little bit something extra to cheer for. So I think when the in-school states recruit in-school kids, it makes it a whole lot more fun for everyone.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, no tough time right now for a lot of athletic directors. Appreciate the work of you and all your counterparts in the area and across the state. Thanks for the chat today.
Matt, appreciate everything you do. Thanks for the run. And everybody throughout the state, keep doing your part to let this thing go through.
Yeah, no question. Chad Gilbert with us Mondays. We talk high school basketball. We talk local sports here in southern Indiana. And great to hear from him again today. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Don't forget, if you miss us, you can't be with us live in the 11 o'clock hour, we're available as a podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts by searching The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Subscribe. You can get all the episodes each day. We do it weekdays at 11 a.m., of course, live right here on the Big X. IU this afternoon. Try to clear your schedule. 2:30, the tip-off. 1:30, pregame begins here on the Big X. Of course, legendary voice of the Hoosiers, Don Fisher, with the call of the game. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Actually, no show tomorrow. That reminds me, we've got Western Kentucky football. I'll be back with you Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.